Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and as always, I'm excited that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So tonight, we're going to discuss our hashtag moment, and the hashtag moment for the month of May is More is Required. We'll then continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. Then we'll go into our segment titled Let's Be Real, where I'll be making my weekly confession, and my confession tonight is I miss who they pretended to be. So you definitely want to stay tuned in to hear exactly who I'm talking about when I make that statement that I miss who they pretended to be. Then we'll go into our main discussion of the hard part of being in leadership, and then we'll end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness and give final greetings, and I'll look forward to seeing you all next week at the exact same time. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the hashtags More is Required, Let's Be Real, Wellness and Faith, or anything else that resonates with you. You can tag me and post on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handle at Weary Consult. That's WHERRYCONSULT. You are also welcome to call into the show with any questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can just look directly at the show website, and that number is listed on the slideshow and also at the top of the page as well. So let's go ahead and get right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, and so I blog there at least once a month on a particular topic. And so my latest blog, titled More is Required, came out a few weeks ago, and I'll actually have a new blog coming up within the next week. So I encourage you to go to radiantsunshine.org to check out my blog and all the other blogs that are there to give you great tips on just being well. So once again, the hashtag for the month of May is More is Required. So feel free to post on social media with the hashtag and be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. So in order to be well spiritually, you must offer all of yourself to God. So some areas of focus can include your mind, your body, your spirit, and your finances. Over the past 3 weeks, we've already had discussions about giving your mind, your body, and your spirit tonight to God. So tonight, we're going to be discussing your finances. So let's delve into what it means to give more of ourselves financially to God. So first and foremost, I want to acknowledge that talking about church and finances is one of the biggest taboo issues that exists in the church. And for good reason, I understand, but then on the one hand, I think that a lot of the taboo or a lot of issue when it comes to even talking about finances in church in the same sentence or the same conversation comes really from a lack of understanding. So my hope is that in our brief discussion on this evening that we can bring some clarification to what it means to give your finances to God and also have an honest discussion about what is the reason why some people are hesitant in even giving money to the church and even how churches are ran and how they may handle the money. So first and foremost, I want to start off with saying that it's important to have a good hold on your finances. You must manage your money well just to minimize stress in your life, to make sure that you're taking care of all your responsibilities, and to ensure stability in your life. Finances is one of the biggest stressors that you can have in your life, and if you're not managing your money well, you're not going to really have the peace and stability and the calm in your life that you will need. If you need any assistance in managing your finances, definitely seek out a financial counselor or a trusted friend who can give you some advice on how to get a hold of your finances. There are also tons of free resources out there as well if you need assistance in managing your credit or even improving your credit, no matter how far gone you may feel your credit is. It is able to be repaired. It may take a few months or even a few years in order to get back to a stable ground, but it is possible. So yes, this is a show talking about spiritual wellness, but we also recognize on this show that you are a whole person, and that in order for you to be spiritually well, you need to be well in all areas of your life. So that's my brief tip on handling your finances, because if you're not financially well, you're not going to be well in any other area of your life or be as well as you could be anyway. So now that we have that portion out of the way, let's talk about giving our finances to God. So it's so easy to be able to say, you know, hey, yes, I'm going to give him my mind mentally, give him my body. You know, I'm going to make sure that I'm making my body a temple and I'm using it in a way that gives glory and praise and honor to God. And yes, spiritually, I'm going to give myself to God and not put myself in situations that are going to be damaging to my soul or, you know, put me at risk to get involved in things spiritually that I may not be able to recover from. But when you get to finances, that can usually be the one area where people are like, you know what? No, I don't want to give my money to the church because I know churches abuse it, and, you know, the preachers shouldn't be driving a car better than the rest of the members, and so on and so on and so on. And just to be completely honest, because this is one thing that we do stress on the show, is that we're open and we're honest, is that, yes, there has been people who have had experiences where they have seen money mishandled in a church. I can tell you that I have never been part of a church that has done that, and so I'm very grateful to that. And I can also definitely say with confidence is that a vast majority of the churches do handle the money and are good stewards of the money that they receive in the church. So unfortunately, the churches who do not take and manage the money well that is given to the church gets more media attention. They get more of the conversation because people like to talk about bad things more than they do good things. So even though you may personally have had an experience, or you know someone else who have had a bad experience when it comes to finances in church, that is not the norm. And so that's the one thing I do want to put out there. And if you are part of a church that is mismanaging money, then you definitely want to be prayerful about how to handle what you do with your finances in regards to that church, and even pray about God leading you to another church that does not mishandle finances. So we have that portion out of the way. Now, in the Bible talks about various different types of offerings. Even when you look at the Old Testament, the offerings that the people would give to God were not just financial. There were tons of different offerings. We don't have the time to really get into that on tonight to talk about the many different sacrifices that were given, the offerings, and the various reasons they were given. But I do want to spell out that even in the Bible, there are tons of different types of offerings that were given on top of financial offerings as well. And one of the most popular scriptures that you will read, or hear rather, if you're in a service and it's doing an offer time, is Malachi 3. So we're actually going to discuss that tonight as well. So in the Bible, it talks about giving your tithe, or giving 10% of your income to God, and for you also to bring an offering as well. And in Malachi 3, it says that you're bringing a tithe and an offering, and you give to the house of God first. And if you do so, then there's going to be a blessing that's going to come from that. So, of course, offhand, hearing something like, okay, well, if you have 100% of something, you give me 10% of that, and now you're going to be blessed with more, it seems like that should be something that's really easy to do. But unfortunately, it's not. And a lot of the hindrances that come from giving our finances to God, one we already talked about as far as this misconception that every single church mishandles the money, which is not accurate. There are some, but most churches do handle the money appropriately. But then a lot of the struggle also comes from what's going on in our own lives individually and our own experiences with finances, or maybe even like lack of finances. Let's say if you're in a situation where money is very tight, and let's say even before you tithe, you don't even make enough money to be able to cover your expenses. And so for someone in that situation, it can be really hard to want to give more and then put yourself in a position where you feel like you're going to have even less, and now your situation is going to be even more dire. Just as a moment of self-disclosure, I can be honest with you and tell you that there have been times that I have been underemployed. There have also been times that I have been unemployed as well. But even during those times, if I had, let's say, when I was unemployed and I was collecting unemployment, I still paid my tithes off of my unemployment income. And even when the times when I was underemployed, I still paid my tithes as well. Now, with my first job that I had out of college when I moved out of town, I can also be very honest and tell you that there, for the first few months, it was tough really paying my tithes consistently because I was underemployed at that time. Although I was working for a great agency doing a job that I truly enjoyed, unfortunately the pay was not enough where I could really support myself and pay all of my bills and take care of all of my responsibilities. And so I wasn't tithing every week off of every paycheck that I received. And I can tell you that it didn't make things any better, just to be quite honest. But the times that I have gone ahead and still continue to tithe, and I did that whether I had enough money to pay my bills or I did not have enough money to pay my bills, is that I saw God provide and things just be taken care of. Things have not been perfect in my life, but I have seen that overall that God truly cares and he has met my needs. You know, not just spiritual needs, just physical needs and some material things that I've needed as well. And really giving and paying your tithes and still giving an offering in a time of lack or in a time of not having enough, it truly takes faith. That takes so much more faith than for someone who has an abundance of income even after paying their tithes and taking care of all their responsibilities. But I encourage you to have that faith because God rewards faith. And even when you look at Malachi 3, it talks about the curse of not giving your tithes and offering to God. And one of the things that I stress to individuals when I'm talking with them about paying tithes and paying your offering or giving, I really prefer to say giving, I don't really like saying paying, but giving your tithes and your offering to the church, is that you may feel like you can't afford to do it, but I say you can't afford not to do it. Because when you don't do it and you're looking at what Malachi 3 says, all the negative things that can happen as a result of robbing God, then you're putting yourself in a bad position that you really can't recover from. And when you look at Malachi 3, it talks about all the blessings that come, how God will pour out one blessing from the windows, plural, of heaven that you won't have enough room to receive. And if you can just imagine a house and that there was one storm that came and it filled the house with water, and then all this water was coming out of each and every window in the house, that's how you can imagine the blessing of God overtaking your life when you trust him and you step out in faith and you give your tithes and you give your offering. And it's such a small percentage of what we are given. And if you look at it, you are giving 100% everything that you have, and only 10% of that, just 10% of the pie, 10% of what you're giving, just 10 cents on every dollar, and now you're going to be giving a blessing that you don't have room to receive. So I encourage everyone to do that and to step out of faith when it comes to giving your finances over to God and giving your tithes and your offering, because you're setting yourself up in order to have provision and abundance with it. Now, another one of the hindrances that comes from giving our finances to God is that you'll have people who will have this discussion where they're against the prosperity gospel. And then they'll talk about how Jesus didn't have a car and he walked everywhere he went and he rode a donkey and things of that nature. While Jesus was here on earth, absolutely, he rode a donkey, he walked everywhere he went, he didn't own a home per se, you know, he moved around a lot. But at the same token, we're talking about God, the same person who also has in the Bible, the same Bible where it talks about Jesus walking everywhere he went and riding donkeys, that same Bible also talks about God owning the cattle of 1,000 hills. It talks about God also owning the entire earth, owning the entire universe. It also talks about heaven and gives some visions of heaven and how the streets are paved with gold and all these other wonderful, absolutely beautiful, costly things. And even in the Old Testament, when you look at the details and the requirements and the tools and resources and materials that were needed to build the material, they weren't using cheap products at all. They were using things that were of value and things that would last. And so when you talk to the individuals and they're just completely against the church or the pastor or the preacher having anything that is nice, that actually contradicts what the Bible says, and it contradicts what even God stands for as well. Now, one thing that I will agree with is that I don't believe in preaching a gospel that says that if you're poor, then you're not saved. If you're poor, then you're not favored of God. I don't believe in that necessarily. But what I will say is that at the same token, if you're blessed, that doesn't mean that you're not in God's will either. If you're blessed, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with what you have given. Again, God owns every single thing in the entire world, in the entire universe. He owns things that we can't even fathom in our mind. We still haven't explored the fullness of what even exists around us. And so when you look at that, you can't tell me that we serve God as Christians that wants us to lack, that wants us to be poor, that wants us to not have enough. And will there be experiences where you will go through seasons of times like that in your life? Absolutely. I have gone through seasons of that in my life. But what I do not believe is that is the permanent will of God for my life until, like, I pass away. I don't believe that at all. And I don't believe that that is something that we should tell people, especially when it contradicts what is in the Bible. Anything that we are talking to people about when we talk about being spiritually well, we need to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God and that we have taken the time to truly study and to understand and to rightly divide the Word of truth. And so going into the benefits of giving our finances to God is that, again, you put yourself in a position to receive the blessings that is listed in Malachi 3 and even the blessings that are listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And then there's other scriptures that we can name as well. But I strongly encourage you to really pray and to step out on faith and to give more of yourself even over to God and even giving beyond just the tithes and offerings. When you look at the church, and this is one more thing that I want to say before we move on to the next topic, is that the church has bills just like every single other individual or even other entity or agency that exists. You know, the church has to pay light bills. The church has to pay a mortgage if they don't own the property. The church has to pay property taxes. The church has to pay for the upkeep of the church so that it's in good condition. It has to pay for it to be clean. It has to pay for the staff that are there. And the staff that are there should not be living in poverty just because they work for the church. I know Beyonce is currently on tour, and I've seen tons of people talking about attending the concert. And her tickets cost several hundred dollars up to even a couple thousand dollars. To be able to attend one of her concerts. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I do believe that Beyonce is a very talented woman. I also believe that she is deserving of everything that she is getting because she works hard for what she gets. But what I don't agree with is how we can be okay with Beyonce putting on the wall to work and being rewarded for the hard work that she pays. But then we have an issue with people in the church putting in hard work, and then we think they should not be rewarded for that as well, or we think that the church should live in property. Again, if the church is not able to pay its light bill or even pay the heating bill or pay the, you know, for the air conditioning to run, you're not going to want to go to that church. So if you're not going to want to go to a run-down church that's really hot in the summer or even cold in the winter, then we want to make sure that we're supporting the church financially to make sure that it stays up and running well. And the other thing I want to point out as well is that even though the gospel is free, ministry costs. That's one thing that my pastor says all the time, and it's so true. It costs to give back to people. Like in my church that I attend, we have a full closet and we do a closed closet. We also do several outreach events throughout the year. And in order to pay or to offer those outreach events and the services and the products that we give away at that time, to give that away to the community completely free, we have to raise the money in order to be able to offer that at no cost. And so in order to get the money for that, then it comes from those of us who are in the church and us putting our resources together to be able to give back. So with the finances, I know it's a hard subject to talk about. I do, again, recognize that there have been some very valid experiences with people who have seen churches mishandle money, but that's not the norm. There are a lot more churches who are adequately handling the money that is coming in, and they want to do ministry, and they want to make an impact in the community. And so we do our part when we give our tithes, when we give our offering, when we give into even special offerings that are taking place, because, again, the gospel of Jesus is free, but ministry costs. So when it comes to spiritual wellness, we can't afford to hold back of God because He requires more. So now we're going to go into our next segment, a segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a segment where I strongly encourage you to call in and interact with me live on the show, where we discuss very reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. Right now, we've been in a series for the past few weeks where we're talking about the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament. And on tonight, we're going to be talking about the account where Jesus calms the storm. So the number to call into the show live is 347-850-1154, and feel free to post on social media with the hashtags with To Believe or Not to Believe, or Wellness and Faith, and any other hashtag you may think of, and you can tag me at Weary Consult. The account of Jesus calming the storm can be found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 and 27. So in this account of the story that happens in the New Testament, we see that the major players that are happening is Jesus and then disciples. And so what happens is that they're on the boat, they're traveling, and in the midst of them traveling in the boat, a huge storm comes. And when the storm comes, I mean, this storm is crazy. And the disciples actually get afraid and they get scared because they're thinking that they're going to die in the middle of the storm because it is so crazy. And so what they then go and they do, they go and find Jesus and they're talking to Jesus about this storm and they're telling them how crazy it is. And what's so awesome is that Jesus' response in it is that He was talking to them. Well, first of all, he was asleep. Even when they first came to actually let him know what was going on, he was asleep. And so they had to wake him up. And when they woke him up, he said to them, like, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? You don't have enough faith. And so he got up from his sleep. He rebuked the winds and the water. And then everything was completely calm. And it happened immediately. As soon as Jesus spoke, everything that the disciples were afraid of, everything that was happening that was causing them to think that they would die out here at sea, it immediately stopped. And so the disciples looked and they were talking to themselves like, wow, like what type of man is this that even the water, the winds obey him? And be mindful of the fact that the disciples had witnessed Jesus doing several miracles at this point. Yeah, witness him, you know, healing people from various diseases and doing all these type of things. But this is the same first time that they have seen him now do a miracle that involves nature, at least based on the accounts that we have here in the Gospels. We see that. So here it is, they witness this, and they're completely amazed. And what is so awesome to me about this whole situation is that, one, Jesus was sleeping during a storm. And it's like, I know for me, like if there's like a crazy storm I'm going on outside, I will definitely wake up. And I'll look out the window, even if it's the middle of the night, I'll look out the window like, oh my gosh, this is like crazy. And I'll try to go back to sleep. It'll be a little difficult because there's so much commotion and so much noise going on. But here it is. You see that Jesus is sleeping through the storm. And just as a moment of encouragement, a brief moment of encouragement to everyone who's listening, is that that can be some encouragement even to us, is that no matter how crazy it may be in your life, is that you can still sleep through the storm because you have the person who is able to calm whatever type of storm is raging in your life. And this is why Jesus spoke really kind of harshly to the disciples, and, you know, because I think in his mind he possibly could have been thinking, like, you've seen me do so many awesome, miraculous things. Why would you think that this was beyond me? And even in our own lives, we can face situations where we start to worry, we start to doubt, we start to have anxiety, we, you know, lose sleep because we're concerned and think that Jesus is not capable of handling this situation, but he totally is. He has the ability to be able to speak just one word, one phrase to your situation that will completely turn your chaos into peace. So I encourage you to have faith in God to get rest spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically because God has us all in control. So what about you? Have you chosen to believe? I definitely believe this account of this miracle. You can tag me on social media with your posts, with your responses. You can also call in live on the show for this segment or even the other segments in the show, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. All right, so We are going to go into our next segment titled Let's Be Real. And this is a segment in the show where I make my weekly confession, and I'm transparent and I admit my mistakes, shortcomings, but I'm also honest about areas where I've had success in and where I have grew and I've made progress. And the purpose of this show, this segment of the show, is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I miss who they pretended to be. So if you follow me on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you're connected to my business page, you saw me put up a picture that had these words on this, and that I miss who they pretended to be. So I'm going to reveal who I'm talking about. And it's no one person in particular. It's actually several people that I have in mind that I'm thinking about when I make these confessions that I miss who they pretended to be. From friendships that I've had, platonic friendships to romantic relationships, there have been a few instances with a few people where they have not turned out to be the people that they pretended to be when I first met them. And to be quite honest, it's really disappointing and really hurtful to go through something like that when you invest time and energy into someone and you're thinking that this is a person that you're going to have a partnership with for an extended period of time, and it's cut short because you see the realness of who, or you see the reality of who the person is, and you see that they're really not who they pretended to be. And it's really unfortunate when someone puts on where really they're fraudulent in how they present themselves to you. And sometimes people do it because they do not have the best intentions at heart, but sometimes people do it because they're trying to be who they desire to be. And that can be difficult when, or difficult to accept when you're hurt in the process of that. You know, and what I've learned is that with going through that situation a couple of times where friendships and, like, even romantic relationships where you find out that people are not who they realize or who they pretended to be, is that you have to look at the situation and see, okay, was this person doing this to really take advantage of me, or is this person still in the process of growing and they haven't gotten to where they want to be yet, and so I just need to have some distance from them until they get to where they truly want to be. And there have been some of those friendships that, you know, yes, we had to take a break, but then we were able to come back and, you know, continue our friendship where it left off. But then there's been some friendships and, you know, definitely with the romantic relationships where it had to, you know, cut the person off permanently. And it's hard to do that, especially for me. I'm an individual where I really care about people deeply. Friendship, you know, any type of relationship that I have with you, even with clients that I've worked with that have passed as well, is that when I see clients that that I used to work with, still very happy to see them, still very concerned about their well-being, even though you're no longer my client. And that's just how I am. I'm always going to care about your well-being, even if things didn't work out well between you and I individually. But at the end of the day, I also have to be honest about the fact that, yes, I can care about you, but I may need to care about you from a distance. Because depending on where you are in your journey and where you are in trying to progress and possibly grow and to mature, you may not be in a position that will actually serve and complement where I am in my growth journey. And when I say that I've had to cut people off, I'm not saying that from a position of thinking that I'm better than anyone or that I have arrived, but what I have come to the conclusion I encourage you to do as well is that you have to be honest about where you are in your growth journey and be honest where other individuals are in their growth journey who you are seeking to be involved with, and that they have not gotten to a place of maturity that is going to complement your journey, or if they are in a position that actually causes you stress or drama, then you may need to put some separation in there in order for the sake of your own success, and that may need to be permanent or it may need to be temporary, but you want to make sure that you're making the decision that is based upon your own wellness and based upon supporting the success that you want to have. So even in the midst of having those disappointments with relationships with friends and, you know, that I used to hang out with not working out, the one thing that I have been committed to doing is to still choosing to, first of all, to learn my decision from the situation so that I don't go through that situation again. Also being committed to forgiving, because it's not worth having bitterness and, you know, having unforgiveness and just being plagued by that. It's a process from healing depending on how you know, much the situation was hurtful, how disappointing it is, but at the same token, it's still best to move on from that and to get to a place of forgiveness and to still love the person. You know, even when you look at how Jesus treated Judas, Jesus knew from the very beginning that Judas was going to betray him, but it never stopped Jesus from treating Judas the same that he treated the other disciples. Now, Judas wasn't part of the inner circle with Peter, James, and John. You know, of the 12 disciples, Jesus had those three that he was closer with than the other nine, and so Judas was in the nine, but Judas was still part of the 12. And Judas still got the same teachings. He still got the same time with Jesus as the other disciples did as well. And so that's one thing as being a Christian that we want to be mindful of, even how we treat people who do not have our best interests at heart. So even if we see it right away, is that, yes, you need to have the appropriate distance and make sure you protect yourself, but you don't need to in turn treat them badly because now you are doing something wrong. When you look at Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, it says here that we are to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good to them that hate us, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, because then that's how you will be and show that you're children of God. And it also says like how he makes the sun to rise on the evil and also on the good, and he sends the rain to the just and unjust. And so even if people are doing you wrong, you are still supposed to do them well. And you can do them well from a distance, but still do them well, still pray for them, still love them. And I can tell you that that is the biggest test of maturity, when you know someone just cannot stand you, when you know that they just hate even just seeing you, just your very presence just makes their blood boil, and you're so able to give to them in their time of need. You're so able to celebrate their success. You're so able to support them in ways that, even from a distance, but still encourages their journey of maturing and being healed and also growing and doing what they desire to do and what God has called them to do. And so it's not easy, but it's definitely possible, and it's possible through the strength of Christ. You know, Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. So if you are in the same situation as me where you miss who someone pretended to be honest. You know, about your feelings, definitely fully acknowledge the hurt or disappointment that you may have, but then move on, create the appropriate distance and put the necessary boundaries in place, and make sure that you choose to learn from the situation, make sure you choose to forgive, and make sure you choose to still love. So at this point, we're actually going to take a brief commercial break, and we're going to hear our wellness tip from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. This is actually a tip that she posted today online, particularly aimed at Black women. So I'm going to go ahead and play that because I think it's something that we definitely need to hear and be encouraged by for those of us who are listening to the show who are women of color. So we're going to listen to this brief wellness tip, and then I'll be back in a moment.
Hello, good people. This is Sharia Farmer coming live from my office at RS Counseling and Wellness Center. I wanted to briefly talk to you guys about something that's extremely important to me. Over this past week, I've been preparing for a presentation on depression in the Black female college student, and what I realized was that we are now continuing the myth of the strong Black woman into a new generation, and it's important that we start to look at how much we're trying to juggle, how much we're trying to do in our lives, and how it quickly can create signs and symptoms that look like anxiety or depression. And what I would like for us to start doing is to capitalize on being healthy for ourselves by taking care of ourselves first. That doesn't mean that we don't care about other people or do things to help other people, but it means that we have to look at how we're taking care of ourselves daily to make sure that we are our healthiest selves in any relationship that we have. And how we do that is just very small things and then also larger things. So for now, I just want to give you some small tips on what you can do to take care of yourself daily. You can make sure that you're eating well. You can make sure that you're having a good night's sleep. You also can do things like taking breaks, saying no, and also making sure you're prioritizing your to-do list and even cutting things off that are not mandatory or needed. I know that that seems very simple, and in some sense it might sound too simple because you've actually gotten to the point where you're on the overload. If that is the case, I will always recommend seeking help reaching out to a counselor or a therapist that can really help you to prioritize what you have on your plate now and to give you some ideas on how to cope with either high levels of anxiety or depression. I hope that has helped. I hope you guys continue to take care of yourselves and put yourselves as the priority, and then put yourself first as a priority, and then start to take care of yourself. Until we meet again, everyone be well.
All right, so welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, and I hope you enjoyed that wellness tip from Sharia. And during that commercial break about wellness tips, she was talking about a presentation that's aimed at destroying the myth of the strong Black woman, but really with those tips, there are tips that we can all put into place to make sure that we are staying well holistically and taking care of ourselves first. All right, so we're going to go into our main discussion, and the main topic of discussion tonight is about the tough parts of being in a position of leadership. I saw this post on Instagram a few days ago, and I wanted to talk about it because it really resonated with me in a lot of ways where I thought that it made some very valid points, and I wanted to just have a discussion with you all about this particular post. So you can actually view the post on the slideshow for the radio show at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. But I'm going to actually read the post right now. So it says, if you're not ready to be disrespected, lied on, talked about, misunderstood or disliked, if you're not ready for them to have secret meetings, plan uprisings, sow discord and nitpick, if you can't handle being plotted against, prayed against, and set up for failure, then, my friend, you're not ready for leadership. So I'm going to read that one more time. If you're not ready to be disrespected, lied on, talked about, misunderstood, or disliked, if you're not ready for them to have secret meetings, plan uprisings, sow discord and nitpick, if you can't handle being plotted against, prayed against, and set up for failure, then, my friend, you're not ready for leadership. So what is leadership? In the simplest terms, it's being in a position of authority and having stewardship over a particular group of people or a particular group of resources. And so you can have leadership roles, and people do inside of the church and outside of the church as well. So what makes a good leader? In my opinion, I think that a good leader is someone who is a good steward. It is someone who is mindful of who they are leading, especially people, someone who's empathetic and able to empathize as well, and someone who leads by example of being a servant. If I was to sum it up in one word, I would say that leadership is servanthood. And so many times we can see examples of people who are in positions of leadership and they really take advantage of it, where they abuse the people that they supervise or they abuse the resources they are to oversee. And those are the things that makes a bad leader. And if you're a bad leader, then you're going to have a bad response to your leadership. Now, what I will say, because you're having a bad response to your leadership or your leadership style, it does not necessarily mean that you are a bad leader. It could be that you are introducing a new way of thinking, a new way of doing that people are not comfortable with and not familiar with. And for some people, it's hard to deal with change. So you want to be mindful of how you are viewing and how you are reacting to the response that you're getting as being in a position of leadership. And you want to make sure that you're objective and that you're prayerful about it as well, and talk to trusted people who are also leading and have that experience to be able to give you the appropriate feedback that you need in regards to handling whatever opposition that you may be experiencing. Now, we're going with the various points that we see listed here on this Instagram post is that when I look at this, it really reminded me of what Jesus went through here on earth. And there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how the servant is not greater than its master. And we are servants of God. And so if Jesus went through this, we're also joint heirs of him. If Jesus went through all of these really hard, tough such circumstances, then surely we can't expect to not have that same thing. I mean, at the end of the day, Jesus died. He was killed because he was doing the will of God. He was killed for healing people and doing miracles. He was killed for casting out demons. He was killed for loving the abandoned. He was killed for ministering and giving help to those who were abandoned and rejected in society. He was killed because he cared and he loved people. He was killed because he chose to stand for truth and didn't compromise. He was killed because he came for the specific purpose, and he lived out that purpose exactly and perfectly and wholly to what he knew he had to do. And he was killed as a result of it. And for those of us here in America, we are really blessed where we don't have widespread attacks on people of faith, where you're actually killed for being a Christian. We have seen examples of that, you know, let's say like in mass school shootings, I believe in Columbine, that happened several years ago, where people, you know, were actually killed, the students, because they believed in God. But there are countries in the world where they have to hide to read the Bible. They have to hide in caves even to have church or to have a worship experience, because if they are public about their faith, that person and their entire family is then murdered as a result of it. So here in America, it's not perfect, but, you know, thankfully we do have a lot more freedom than other Christians do across the world. And so when we look at even just how Jesus was tortured and talked about and rejected, and then how he was tortured and murdered as a result of just doing what he was called to do, we are actually in good company when you are in leadership and you go through all these things that this Instagram post was talked about. Now, I don't think that we need to get caught up in the hype of having negative experiences when we have leadership. You know, don't glorify or worship the struggle. That's one thing, is that you can see some people kind of going on the other end of the spectrum where you glorify your struggle. I think we should be honest about our struggle. I also believe that it is worthwhile with also sharing with other people what you've had to overcome. But we want to make sure that we're not glorifying the struggle and get so caught up in our own press where we believe that we are just so much more than who we truly are. We want to make sure that we're confident, but we also make sure that we have the humility as well. And having confidence and humility is not a contradiction. You don't need to downplay your intelligence. You don't need to downplay your success in order to make other people feel comfortable. But at the same token, you don't want to exude arrogance as well. But you can be confident and humble and honest about your success and honest about what you have done well, even in being a good leader. Because being a good leader means that you're the example that those you are leading are looking up to. So if you want the people you are leading to be well, to be successful, to be great, then they need to see your example of greatness and being well and doing a good job in what you have been given. And so I want to encourage anyone that's in leadership, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, if you're having a difficult time, because at the end of the day, we're human. And so when you are disrespected by individuals or you're lied on, or if you have people talking about you, or if you have people that are plotting to try to make sure that you're destroyed and make sure that you're not successful, it can be really hurtful. It can be really disappointing. Sometimes it'll come from people you don't even expect. But at the end of the day, this is all part of leadership, because leadership is about servant. It's about being a servant. And when you serve, you get dirty. When you serve, you get messed up. You get knocked down. When you serve, you get tired because you're working so hard. But at the end of the day, there's also reward of servanthood is being able to see who you are managing and what you are managing, then doing well. When you see the resources being properly managed and you see that now you're able to offer more services because you properly manage what you are overseeing, that's like success. And so all your hard work pay off. When you see the people who you have taught to and spent so much time in and, you know, all these hours of time and energy and emotion and effort, and you see them now doing well, that is the reward of that. And God sees that as well. God sees how when we are a good steward, he will reward that, reward the effort that we put in when we are a reflection of him. So I encourage all of you, if you're having a difficult time in leadership, that you still continue to do well, that you still continue to be a good steward, and you still continue to be a good example, even if you're having difficult times and having people who are not fully supporting you, because God will send the people that you need in order to support you and to surround you and to strengthen you. Because the other thing that we need to be mindful as well with being a good leader is that we need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves. I know I had a discussion a few months ago with someone. We were talking about the importance of loving yourself as you love others. And we'll quote that scripture all the time, but we'll love other people, but we won't be loving ourselves. And so in order to love, in order to give love to someone else, you need to be loved. So you need to make sure that you're loving yourself, you're caring for yourself, so that you can give that out, and then you also replenish yourself as well. All right, so we're going to go into our dose of spiritual wellness. This is the point in the show where I recap what we've talked about, and we give some tips to help you throughout the week until we meet again. So number one, you want to make sure that you are a good steward over what you have been chosen to lead. You want to make sure that you're managing people well, that you're managing people from a position of servanthood. You want to make sure that you're managing the resources that you're overseeing, that you're being a good steward of what you have given so that those resources can be multiplied in order to offer more resources and to help more people and other facets as well. Number two, the quality of your leadership should not be affected by the quality of the people that you are overseeing or even the quality of the resources you're overseeing. So let me briefly explain that. Basically what I'm saying is that give your best. Even if you're not leading the quote-unquote best, you want to bring the people or the resources up to the standard of excellence. Just because you go into a situation and things are not at a standard of excellence because things are not as well as you would like them to be or even that your experience has the ability to oversee, you don't want to then give a half of you or half of your ability just because of the environment that you're in. What you want to go do is give your best, go in fully and give everything you have and bring the environment, bring the people, bring the resources up to the standard of excellence that you have the expertise in. Number three, and being a good leader means being a good servant. Never get too good to serve. And then number four, everyone won't like you, but you still need to do what's right and be who God has created you to be. Don't change who you are. Still be uniquely you, but also still love, still forgive, still bless, still encourage, still support, even if everyone else is not doing the same. Well, that is all that I have for you this evening. Enjoy this time with you, and I look forward to speaking with you next Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In order to listen to the show, you want to log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you will be immediately connected live. Remember that you can connect with me before, after, and during the show with the various hashtags that we mentioned on social media. You can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at WearyConsult. You can also follow me on Periscope as well with that same handle at Weary Consult. So find out all things Sherry Weary. You can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY. And be sure to check out the counseling blog or the blog of RS Counseling and Wellness Center at RadiantSunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful tips about wellness tips along with the blogs that I do once a month as well. My latest blog titled More Required is there. I also have a new blog coming out within the next week, so you want to go check that out. There is a new women's enrichment community that the RS Counseling and Wellness Center will be launching in just a few short weeks, so you want to make sure that you sign up for it today. It's going to be an awesome experience. Tons of valuable information. You're getting a great deal. I'm telling you, the cost of the community is so small compared to the quality of information that you're going to be getting and the wealth of resources that you will have access to. So you can find out more information about that at RadiantSunshine.org as well. You want to tune in Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the lunch date, a social wellness break. This is a radio show with Sharia Farmer where she gives tips on having healthy relationships. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com, at amazon.com, and at barnesandnoble.com. You can also see reviews there. If you're connected with me on Facebook with my business page at Sherry C. Weary, you can also see other reviews that I've gotten from other customers as well. So you want to make sure that you get this book. I'm telling you, it's an awesome book. If you've ever experienced pain or hurt or anything in your life that has really made you question the love of God, made you question the intent of people, where you're looking to recover from hurt and traumatic experiences, you want to get this book. It's a novel, but it is a book that is very honest about those experiences, and it also gives you the opportunity to be able to experience the pain of Olivia, the main character, but also to go along with her in her journey and attempting to find healing as well. So, again, that's all I have for you all tonight. As always, my prayer for you is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.